In due course of time, and they make a place for another era in history. But the devotee realizes how much history and historical persons are useless products of flickering time.
Okay, I'll be there. And then come to there. Okay.
Talk for you. Bhagavad Dharma, Rashid, Bhagavad, Sambhadaya, Sakam, Karma, Kemar, Say, Sarvata Pritap. Kyongi Bhakta Ese Sakam Karma, Kemar Ko, Samai Ka, Apovyaya, Madra, Mante. Sara Ramanda, Yajnong Kahi, Ki Sara Bhautik Jagat, Gati Shila Hai. ताकि योजना बनाने के लिए मनुष्य की स्थिति अत्यंत आरामदेह या सुरक्षित बनी रहे। यद्यपि सभी लोग देखते हैं कि यह संसार ना तो आरामदेह है ना सुरक्षित है और विकास की किसी अवस्था में ऐसा हो भी नहीं सकता। जो लोग भौतिक सभ्यता की रामा प्रगति से मोहित हैं, वे निश्चय ही आदर प्रमत्त हैं। यह सारी भौतिक सृष्टि केवल नामों की जादूगरी है। वास्तव में यह पृथ्वी जल अग्नि जैसा पदार्थों से भरी होने वाली सृष्टि के अतिरिक्त कुछ भी नहीं है। इमारती समान कारें बंगले मिले फैक्ट्रियां उद्योग शांति युद्ध या परमाणु शक्ति का इलेक्ट्रॉनिक जैसा भौतिक विज्ञान की सर्वोच्च सिद्धियां भौतिक तत्वों तथा तीनों गुणों की एक साथ प्रतिक्रिया के मोहक नाम के अतिरिक्त कुछ नहीं है। क्योंकि भगवान का भक्त इन्हें पूरी तरह जानता रहता है अतएव वह उन अवास्तविक वस्तुओं को जन्म देने में रुचि नहीं लेता जो समुद्री तरंगों के बुदबुदों के समान नगण्य है। बड़े बड़े राजा नेता तथा सैनिक एक दूसरे से इसलिए रहते हैं जिससे इतिहास में उनके नाम अक्षुण्ण बने रहे किंतु वे कालक्रम में भुला दिया जाते हैं और वे इतिहास में एक दूसरे युग को स्थान दे देते हैं। लेकिन वक्त जानता है कि इतिहास तथा ऐतिहासिक व्यक्ति किस तरह क्षुण बंबोर समय की उपज है। हरे कृष्ण अथ कबीर नाम सुयावर अर्थात श्यार प्रमथ व्यवसाय बुद्धि सिद्धे यथार्थे न यथे तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमान कवि अ वाइज पर्सन अ वेल एजुकेटेड पर्सन अ कल्चर्ड पर्सन दैट इज कवि। Okay, it means also poet. Lord Brahma was the Adi Kavi, the first poet, or the first wise man. He had a well-rounded education because he received his education from the Supreme Lord, Narayana. And he knew these facts. He taught them to his son Narada. And Narada taught this wisdom, this transcendental wisdom of knowing what is really important in this life. He taught it to his disciple Dwaipayana Vyas, who taught it to his son Shukadeva.
Narayana and after his sister, they went to Vyasa, they even have Satyavataya, he got them in the Santana,
And now Srila Shukadev is sharing his knowledge with his disciple, Maharaj Parikshit. This is the process of knowledge received through the parampara, by the descending avaroha process. This is the traditional way of receiving knowledge. The modern way is different. And I don't mean modern only in the last 10 years. Modern in the last 5,000 years. Even in the time of the Pandavas, the fathers of Parikshit, grandfathers, Domya Rishi recognized this modern tendency. He commented, Nachasaf Rishir Yashamatam Nabinam. Nowadays, not like the old times, but nowadays, no one's considered a rishi unless he has his own opinion. Back then, 5,000 years ago, they still had rishis walking around with long, knotted hair, and big beards, wrinkled faces, maybe a million years old. They still had rishis walking around like that. And they were smart. They were smart. They knew many things. And they knew by heart, not just from books. Nowadays, we don't see such people 5,000 years later. Our gurus, our experts, know very little in comparison. Don't say the word guru. Our material experts, they know very little compared to the great sages of the past. But even 5,000 years ago, Domya, the teacher of the Pandavas, he saw this modern tendency already beginning. Nowadays, nobody is considered a rishi unless he has his own opinion, different than his teachers. When I first went to the university, when I was 18 years old, I can't remember that time, so long ago. I cannot even remember it. There were two courses that every freshman, new student, had to take. One of them was Western philosophy. Western philosophy. So I thought this will be very interesting. I'm interested in philosophy. On Monday morning, the teacher told us about René Descartes, Mr. Descartes and his philosophy. Descartes was disgusted with all this medieval philosophy, so much confusion. He wanted to make philosophy clear and sensible. Frenchman, he was living in the early, in the 16th century. Same time as Jiva Goswami. In French. friend. So he said, let me deny everything that everybody said before and start from the beginning with no ideas in my head. All these previous authorities, they just created so much confusion. Let me forget everything they said and start with a clean slate. So here I am. Let me think. What can I know? What can be certain? I don't know. I'm doubting everything. I just kicked them all the ideas out. So I'm full of doubt. What do I know? What can I know? So he said, well, here I am, doubting. Doubting is a kind of thinking. I'm thinking. I know that. And he was thinking in Latin, because educated people used to know Latin back then. He was thinking in Latin. Latin language. Just like Sanskrit is the educated language in India. In Europe, they used to speak Latin, but it's just very, very corrupt Sanskrit. No, very distant, very, very corrupt version. Anyway, he was thinking in Sanskrit. He said, okay, cogito ergo sum. I am thinking, therefore I exist. I know I exist because I'm thinking here, doubting everything. Therefore I must exist. And on the basis of that first premise, I think, therefore I exist. Cogito ergo sum. He built a whole philosophy about life. And our instructor in the class spent an hour and a half explaining all about this nice philosophy. And the teacher said, okay, Wednesday morning, next class, we're going to take apart Descartes' philosophy, destroy it, and see by the next philosophy. The next philosopher will defeat everything Descartes said and propose something different. And he did that. Wednesday morning he showed how the next philosopher decided that everything Descartes said was wrong and showed how it was wrong. So it only took me 3 days to become completely disillusioned, disgusted with the university. What a waste of time. There's no settled idea. Everybody is simply defeating everybody else. You take your teacher, you kick him in the face and make something new, and then the next year student will kick you in the face. But if my mother had taught me the Mahabharata, if I had heard the Mahabharata in my village instead of, you know, Mickey Mouse and all the other things I watched on the television, and Captain Kangaroo, don't even translate that. You know, instead of watching television when I was 3 years old, if I was listening to Mahabharata, I would have heard Nachasa Frishir, Yasya Matam Navinam. When I was 3 years old, I was watching the television, cartoons, Mickey Mouse. If instead I was hearing Mahabharata, I would have heard Nachasa Frishir, Yasya Matam Navinam. And I could have saved my, not wasting my time, going to that stupid university.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Radha Partha Sarati, Shri Lalita Vishaka Devi Ki Jai, Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. The ancient Vedic tradition of the better rishis, the rishis who listen to their teachers, is different. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Krita. The older rishis, the traditional rishis, they were concerned to preserve what they learned from their teachers, not to change it. That is the Vedic system of education. If you ask, what do you mean by Vedic? That's the basic principle. That you listen to your teacher, and you simply imbibe what he gives you, and you give it to your students, not changing it. That's Vedic. That's what Vedic means. Vedic does not just mean based on some books called the Vedas. That's not all that it means, although that is also there. We call ourselves Vedic. Prabhupada gave us the idea that we are Vedic movement. You know, they were promoting Vedic culture. I think Vedic Expo, everything like that, Vedic. But is anybody in this room, have you ever read the Vedas? Even a few pages? Rig Veda, Samaveda, ever read them? Can you tell me about them? So we don't know any Vedas. Just like the Brahmanas and Mathuras. They're all Chaturvedis, Chauvedi. And not one of them has read any Vedas. In Mathura. In Mathura. Not even one page. They can, you know, do a couple of mantras for you and take 20 rupees to throw some flowers. But they don't know any Vedas. What kind of Chaturvedi? They know a couple of shlokas on stotras. They don't know any Vedas. So we say Vedic, we don't know Vedas, to be honest. But even though we haven't read those old books, the language is very difficult, the ideas are even more difficult. We haven't read them, we're honest about it, but still we're Vedic. Because the principle is Vedic, the principle of how we receive our knowledge. We are receiving the same knowledge that Brahmaji, Chaturmukh Brahma, received from Narayana. Same knowledge, unchanged, after 50 generations. It must be Panchsat, 65 generations since Brahma. So there are 59 generations from Lord Brahma to Krishna. And then another 30 so, oh wow, so about 85 generations since Brahma. But that's from Krishna. But Brahma to Krishna is 59 generations. So almost 90 generations since Brahmaji, since Chaturmukha.
So, Brahmaji ke baad mein na matlab kitna kuch hai kuch nahi hai wo jo matlab nahi hai to wo gyan ka sabse jo matlab prapt kara aur apna badal gaya.
And still the length, the knowledge is the same. Nobody changed it. Oh, people are changing it, but there's always a parampara of pure devotees who don't change it. And let The so-called rishis change it into something else. But we're interested in the pure parampara, even if there's only a few people in that parampara. We are receiving that original Vedic knowledge. Even though Vyasadeva decided at the beginning, just before the beginning of Kali Yuga, that people can't understand the original Vedas, that Narada instructed him to present Srimad Bhagavatam, to give the essence of the knowledge of the Vedas. Actually, Vyasadeva wrote three books. Only three books. The other books, the Vedas and the Upanishads and the Dharma Shastras, everything, he just was the editor. He was not the author. But he's the author of three books. But Vyasadeva wrote Vedanta Sutra to explain the difficult ideas of the Upanishads. But Vedanta Sutra was written for great philosophers, very expert professional philosophers. Just like the medical doctors, they have their professional textbooks, medical, you know, reference books, but they're not for ordinary people to read. So the Vedanta Sutra is for the professional experts in philosophy. For everybody else, he wrote two other books. For the mass of people, he wrote Mahabharata for general mass. And then for the serious devotees, he wrote Bhagavatam. The serious Vaishnavas. And in those three books, the essence of all Vedic knowledge is found. So a real kavi is one who is receiving knowledge through the parampara, the original unchanged knowledge. That is kavi. Is somebody who is receiving his knowledge in the descending process through the parampara, the original knowledge unchanged. Here Shukadeva is saying, he's warning us or advising us, Chaitanya, that one who is wise, who wants to be considered an educated, cultured man, he should be careful. He should avoid wasting his time in useless things. Being entangled in materialistic affairs, making money, gaining power in this world, these are wastes of the valuable time of one's life. An intelligent person should be careful not to waste all the time of his life. He doesn't have that much time. Okay, so I want to read now the rest of Prabhupada's purport and say a few words about it. In English, the fruitive worker aspires after a big fortune in the matter of wealth, women, and worldly adoration. But those who are fixed in perfect reality are not at all interested in such false things. For them it is all a waste of time. Since every second of human life is important, an enlightened man should be very careful to utilize time very cautiously. 1 second of human life wasted in the vain research of planning for happiness in the material world can never be replaced, even if one spends millions of coins in gold. Therefore, the transcendental list, desiring freedom from the clutches of Maya, or the illusory activities of life, is warned herewith not to be captivated by the external features of fruitive actors. Human life is never meant for sense gratification, but for self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us solely on this subject from the very beginning to the end. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. The civilization which aims at this utmost perfection never indulges in creating unwanted things, and such a perfect civilization prepares men only to accept the bare necessities of life, or to follow the principles of the best use of a bad bargain. Our material bodies and our lives in that connection are bad bargains, because the living entity is actually spirit, and spiritual advancement of the living entity is absolutely necessary. Human life is intended for the realization of this important factor, and one should act accordingly, accepting only the bare necessities of life and depending more on God's gift, without diversion of human energy for any other purpose, such as being mad for material enjoyment. The materialistic advancement of civilization is called the civilization of the demons, which ultimately ends in wars and scarcity. The transcendentalist is specifically warned herewith to be fixed in mind, so that even if there is difficulty in plain thinking and high thinking, he will not budge even an inch from his stark determination. For a transcendentalist, it is a suicidal policy to be intimately in touch with the sense gratifiers of this world, because such a policy will frustrate the ultimate goal of life, gain of life. Sugadeva Goswami met Maharaj Parikshit when the latter felt a necessity for such a meeting. It is the duty of the transcendentalist to help persons who desire real salvation and to support the cause of salvation. One might note that Sugadeva Goswami never met Maharaj Parikshit while he was ruling as a great king. For a transcendentalist, the mode of activities is explained in the next shloka. Sakam karma kosampati stri tata bhautik mansaman ki cha hota hai kintu jinhe vastavikta ka gyan hai woh aisi mithya vastuon mein tonik bhi ruchi nahi rakhte hain unke liye yah samay ka apavyay hai chunki manushya jivan ka pratyek kshan mahatvapurna hai अतएव प्रबुद्ध अत व्यक्ति को समय का उपयोग करने में काफी सतर्क रहना चाहिए। इस जगह में सुख की योजना बनाने की शोर में विनष्ट मानव जीवन का एक सेकंड भी कभी वापस नहीं मिल सकता। भले ही वह उसके लिए लाखों स्वर्ण मुद्राएं क्यों न खर्च करे। अतएव ऐसा अध्यात्मवादी जो माया के चंगुल से छूटना चाहता है उसे सचेत किया जाता है कि वो सका कर्मियों के काय स्वरूप में मोहित न हो। मनुष्य जीवन कभी भी इंद्रिय तृप्ति के लिए नहीं रहा, वो तो आत्मा साक्षात्कार के लिए मिला है। श्रीमद् भागवत में आदि से अंत तक इसी विषय का उपदेश मिलता है। मानव जीवन मात्र आत्म साक्षात्कार के लिए है। जो सभ्यता इस सर्वाधिक पूर्णता का लक्ष्य बनाती है वह अवांछित वस्तुओं में लिप्त नहीं होती, और ऐसी पूर्ण सभ्यता मनुष्यों को जीवन की न्यूनतम आवश्यकताएं स्वीकार करने के लिए या बुरे सामने का सर्वोत्तम उपयोग करने के सिद्धांत का पालन करने के लिए तैयार करती है। इस दृष्टि से हमारे भौतिक शरीर का हमारे जीवन बुरे सावरे है, क्योंकि जीव वास्तव में आत्मा है और जीव की आध्यात्मिकता प्रगति अत्यावश्यक है। मानव जीवन इसी महत्वपूर्ण उद्देश्य की प्राप्ति के लिए है, और मनुष्य को जीवन की न्यूनतम आवश्यकताओं को स्वीकार करके भगवान के उपहार पर आश्रित रहते हुए मानवीय शक्ति को अन्य किसी कार्यों में यथा भौतिक भोग के पीछे दीवाना होने में न लगाकर तदनुसार कर्म अच्छा करना चाहिए। सभ्यता का भौतिकवादी विकास असुरों की सभ्यता कहलाते हैं, जिसका अंत युद्ध तथा अभाव में होता है। यहां पर अध्यात्मवादी को मन से स्थिर होने के लिए कह गया है, जिससे यदि सादा जीवन उच्च विचार में कठिनाई का अनुभव भी हो तो वह अपने दृढ़ संकल्प से रंच मात्र भी नहीं भीगे। विश्व के इंद्रियतृप्तिकर्ताओं के घनिष्ठ संपर्क में आना अध्यात्मवादी के लिए आत्मघात है, क्योंकि इस नीति से जीवन का चरम लक्ष्य ही विफल हो जाएगा। सुखदेव गोस्वामी महाराज परीक्षित से तब मिले जब महाराज को ऐसी भेंट की आवश्यकता थी। अध्यात्मवादी का कर्तव्य है कि असली मुक्तिकामी व्यक्तियों की सहायता करे और मुक्ति के उद्देश्य को सहयोग दे। ध्यान है कि सुखदेव गोस्वामी महाराज परीक्षित से तब कभी नहीं मिले जब वे महान राजा के रूप में शासन कर रहे थे। अध्यात्मवादी के लिए कार्य प्रणाली की विवेचना अगले श्लोक से की गई है। We are, all of us, to different degrees, bewildered by material entanglement, every one of us. Iccha, dvesha, samuttena, dvandva mohena, bharata, sarva bhutani, sammoham, sarga yanti parantava. Everyone is born into confusion and ignorance. Because we have desire and hatred, and we come to this birth bringing our emotions with us, our subtle body, from the previous life. So the basic condition of our material life is confusion and ignorance from the very birth. When we are born, we have to spend 12 years getting back our intelligence. If a man goes out and drinks sharab, he loses his intelligence for a few hours, and then in the morning he takes an extra time to wake up. To come back to his senses, it takes him a few extra hours. This is called hangover. Hangover. The name is hangover. Your stupidity is hanging over a few hours. But when we take birth, even in this human form, we have a hangover for 12 years. It takes 12 years to get your intelligence back. And you have to go to school and get hit with a stick many times. In India, you get hit with a stick. In America, they just psychologically torture you. In the Indian schools, the children get hit with a stick. In America, that's illegal. In the American school, they tell the children, all of them, you can be whatever you want to be. But that is a dirty lie. They can't become whatever they want to be. Those in the middle of the city, all those black Negro children, they can't become whatever they want to be. They'll end up getting a job for a few dollars an hour working in McDonald's. They can't do better than that. No one will let them. So what's more cruel, to hit the child with a stick or to tell him a big lie that he can become something that he can't be? Anyway, there are different methods of education. The purpose of education is to wake you up from your hangover, to get you back your intelligence. And even as we grow old, we're still struggling with our confusion and our ignorance. Even if you get a PhD, you can still be very stupid. You'll still be confused about many things. And then when you get old, when you get past 70 years old, you'll forget all the things you used to know. Then you'll forget everything you knew before. We talked about René Descartes, early Western philosopher, in the early 16th century. Later, in the 18th century, there was Professor Kant, Immanuel Kant. He wrote such a complicated philosophy, nobody can understand it. Even today, nobody understands it. Immanuel Kant. So many professors are writing so many books to explain what Kant said, but actually nobody knows what he said. When he was still on the planet, All his students were begging him, please explain this philosophy. What are you saying? But towards, you know, the end of the 18th century, he was getting to be an old man. And he had to apologize to his students. I'm sorry, I'm getting old, and I can't remember what this is all about, what I wrote. I can't really understand any of it. He had to honestly apologize to his students. He couldn't figure out his own philosophy anymore. So expect, when you get born in this world, you'll be in complete confusion for 12 years in the beginning and in the end. And in between, you'll also be confused. So if we can get a little bit of intelligence in between, we should be very careful to hold on to it. Try to get some clear understanding of what is true before it's too late, before you get old and you can't understand anything anymore. Set up tamatta. Be very careful to understand what is of actual value in life. And the symptom of someone who has gotten that intelligence is that he doesn't have interest anymore in foolish materialism. The devotees of this ISKCON movement are so fortunate. They've been blessed. They've been given the blessings of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't know why this mercy has descended upon us. We didn't deserve it. And thanks to the blessings, the kripa of Mahaprabhu, we can understand how foolish materialism is, and we can actually give it up. Atap kabir namasu yavaranta siddhatva matta vyavasaya buddhi. Therefore, we're so lucky, fortunate to get these blessings and be able to see something of the reality. We should be very careful not to lose it. Don't be confused by these advertisements for Maya. All the boardings telling you, enjoy, enjoy, you need this triple chocolate ice cream. That will make you happy. Open the newspaper to get information about the world, and you'll just see half-naked women on every page. What are they trying to do in these newspapers? They're trying to make us into sense gratifiers. That's their business. Find something better to do with your 2 rupees. Don't even buy the newspaper. Don't turn on the television. Throw the television in the garbage. And be very careful not to be attracted by Maya's advertisements. Vyavasaya buddhi. Prabhupada says that we should have stark determination. Stark means very austere and severe. That's just poetic. It doesn't mean we have to be sad and never smile. We can be happy and peaceful and satisfied, but we should be very serious about remaining Krishna conscious. We should pray to Krishna, give me these blessings. Let me be attracted to this Krishna consciousness. Let me lose my interest in everything material. Please, give me this blessing. And in everything we do every day, we should show Krishna that that is our intention, to become more spiritual and less material. In everything we do. Because Krishna is looking. He's not just looking at you from the altar. He's looking at you everywhere, all day. What is Krishna supposed to think? If you come in front of the altar and make a big show of pranamas and beg, please accept me as your servant. And then you go out the door and you pursue materialism. Krishna will say, what is this? And he doesn't mean it. So we have to practice what the prayers we make, we have to live up to them. And we have to, all day, act in such a way that Krishna sees. He's looking. Let him see that we want to become more spiritual, less material. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
By 10 o'clock, the Khatam point is over. So we have to finish by 9 o'clock. So, question answer is very
important. Okay, one comment. Over here. Please,
yes,
please.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yes. On philosophy, in the three kinds of Puranas, the Puranas of Sattva, Mun, Bhagavad, and Bhagavad.
Yes.
So, what do you mean by two different opinions?
Practically on everything. They will have different opinions on every little thing. Practical things, trivial things, philosophical things, just external customs. They'll have a difference of opinion about everything.
So, Sangha Prabhupada is saying that if you are a Brahmi, you are a Sattva, that is a Brahmi, you are a Brahmi. So, you are a Rishi, you are a Rishi, you are a Rishi, you are a Rishi, you are a Rishi. So, you are a Rishi, you are a Rishi.
A person? A person whose mind is too active and not kept under control, he cannot help but having an opinion about every little thing. He can't be simple about anything. He can't make things simple, and he can't accept anybody else's idea. He can't listen to anybody else because his mind is all the time. So therefore, he has to have a different opinion about everything, even when it doesn't make any difference. So that's why Domiya didn't say philosophical opinion. He said whose opinion about anything or everything is different. The rishis will have an argument in the morning. Should we have bindi for lunch or gobi? They'll have an argument about that. Yeah, so we have, offer Krishna bindi or gobi for lunch. They'll argue over that. Anything, everything. Okay.
Then
the last thing, Jai. Thank you.